All right, that's the fun stuff. Not that getting into the Bible isn't fun, for sure. Yes, now the hard work, the hard work. All right, we have turned the corner. We've been doing a lot of the, I don't want to say practical, because in one sense, when you study ecclesiology and prayer, there's so much more to it than that. But that's what we have been looking at these past few weeks. We've looked at prayer. We've looked at the church. Jerry and Jeremy have taken us through some wonderful excursions on the ordinances in church history. Just a wonderful supplement to what we've been doing. Today, we look at the spiritual gifts. Many of you have been waiting for this. You have many questions about the spiritual gifts, and I'm there with you. I mean, I want to preface, I know Jeremy as well, too, experiences with this. Many of us have a lot of experiences with spiritual gifts, and air quotes intentional for that, what they would be, what they would look like. Your questions have ranged from what are spiritual gifts? How do we acquire spiritual gifts? What is the purpose of them? That's a very important question. What's the purpose? What about the types and kinds? And of course, the big one for some of you, depending on your experience, what about healings? What about tongues? What about the interpretation of tongues? I would say, as we have been saying, if you're not tracking with the messages, it's always a good time to parachute in. But this message, and I have it on there, that's in your study, is an outstanding one to listen to. And I would particularly say this, those of you from charismatic backgrounds, from Pentecostal churches, please listen to the message. Please listen to the message. You will do yourself a service. It's well done, very helpful, and lays a great foundation for you. So it is literally on miracles, healings, and tongues. So you can get that on the GTY site. So what are spiritual gifts? So as we always do, what we do when we answer this question, we talk about what it is not. Spiritual gifts are not flamboyant, and they're also not frustrating. So what do we mean by that? They're not flamboyant, and I think that speaks for itself for many of us, right? But they're also not frustrating. They're not designed to frustrate us in terms of just trying to find out and figure out what they are. Many have this kind of experience. They're not flamboyant this way. This is sadly, and we're beyond the jesting of it, sadly, this is what people think of when they think of spiritual gifts. I can't tell you how many stories, I don't know, Jeremy, you'd say the same. So much hurt and bankruptcy because people have given not just money, but resources and energy and time to this expression of spiritual gifts. That's the flamboyant part. But at the same time, many of you, if you're from more conservative circles, you've been frustrated by gifts. I'm sure at some point you've been frustrated with this. What are my spiritual gifts? God's not here to confuse you and frustrate you on what your spiritual gifts are. You've taken tests after assessment, after digging, after discernment, and you're frustrated with what your spiritual gifts are. Often that frustration leads you to start looking horizontal. How come I'm not like Jerry or Jeremy, or how come I'm not like Glenn, right? And you start doing this. It's not meant to frustrate. God's not playing a game with us, you know, guess your gift. That's not what this is about. Now, I would say, I do need to make one comment on those. I'm not saying they're bad. We're not saying that. They can be helpful, but certainly this isn't the way that you primarily, if not exclusively, find your spiritual gift. So those together, it's not flamboyant, and it is not frustrating. So what are spiritual gifts? We start with this, 1 Corinthians 12:7, look at it. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we use that to root our study over the next 2 weeks. Look at it. Manifestation from the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And note, friends, please, the outwardness of the gift. Not to show off. Not to create tears. Not to say that I'm super spiritual. Not for self at all. Your spiritual gift, according to the Word of God, has nothing to do with you. It's given for what? Common good. That's so important. In one sense, I hope for many, that alone, one verse, eliminates many of the misunderstandings of the spiritual gifts. Okay, now we're going to dig a little deeper now. Let's do this. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers. So we stop there. That would be, if you look in the Greek, the pneumatakos, which is about spirituals. That's what that word means. It's basically given in a form that means you could say of spirituals or those of spirit. It's a very, in one sense, catch-all, general term. Now, we can drill down further. Go to verse 4. The Word of God says, now there are varieties of gifts. So gifts is pointing back to verse 1. What are the of spirituals? Well, it seems like they're talking about gifts. That word, gifts, look at it, is charisma. That's a Greek word. Charisma is what it is in the Greek, and it means a gift of grace or a free gift. All of that there is charisma. And you know that. Look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the charisma of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see that? So it's charisma, which comes from even the root charis, when you think about grace, there's a sense of coming from God, something freely given of God, the charisma of God. So we could say this, look at the bottom, spiritual gifts are, and we root it in the verse, manifestations of the Spirit, freely given by the Spirit, to members of the body of Christ. Grab that. Freely given by the Spirit to members of the body of Christ. Very simple and straightforward. Now, again, we'll unpack that more. But that would be by way of definition. Any questions at this point? Yeah, Jeremy.
Can you distinguish between how you're using the word manifestation and how we would be accustomed to hearing it from, like, horror movies or just common culture? Like, that word is a very specific...
Yeah, great question, Jeremy. And chime in, by the way. I mean, Jeremy... Again, as he will share with you, his own experiences in this too. So manifestations, as you hear it, really has this sense of that something is flamboyant, something just emerges, right? You have this sense of something showy, right? That's a manifestation. It's often something visual, something spectacular. That's how we treat that word. This idea, right? It has to have this sense of... Can I say this? Pizzazz to it. That's what a manifestation would be for those in particular denominations. Versus what God gives, the free gift, the charisma, right? The true manifestation of the Spirit. So let's give the obvious one. If you're in Christ in this room, right? You have the charisma of regeneration and salvation, right? And for many of you, again, I don't want to make it about a moment or two, but you'd say, I don't know the day that I was saved, right? There gives you one example, right? You have this manifestation of the Spirit that's regenerated your spirit. There's no smoke and mirrors and fireworks, and right? So very different to what, again, the Hollywood kind of spectacular church would show as a manifestation of the Spirit, to the point where they'd even put on evenings and conferences and weekends on Spirit manifestations versus... the ongoing, thorough, genuine work of the Spirit inwardly. Now, we're going to unpack that a little bit more. Anything to add to that, Jeremy? Yeah. So much more we can say, and that's good, because we want to begin to look rightly at this idea of a manifestation. And what is a free gift? What is a free gift from the Holy Spirit? So that's definitional. Go to 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Someone read that verse for us. Whoever's got that, go for it.
As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.
So does it say as each is receiving a gift? What does it say?
Has received.
It's received. You are given, and this was maybe a bigger one that's misunderstood, a manifestation of the Spirit at salvation. Past tense. You don't acquire more gifts in the Christian life. You don't hit this plateau and then God says, okay, you've arrived here and you get another gift. And it's not even an organic thing where maybe you add a little skill and you get this. No, you are imprinted, given a manifestation of the Spirit. So what happens then? Let's talk about this for a moment. It's like you're given a treasure, a deposit, And you don't fully understand what you have, nor do you fully know what you have, until the right pickaxe and the right tools are there that start to pull it out. You pull out a little bit of a diamond, but it's got stuff on it. So over time, as you start to look at it, handle it, you polish it, it starts to emerge more and more. But it's not given down the road. It's given to you at salvation. Each has been given at salvation a manifestation of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about what that manifestation is. But does that make sense? One time given. What you actually see is people rightly exercising by way of predominantly the local church, doing things. We're going to talk about this later. Jeremy talked about this wonderfully a few weeks ago. Doing things. Doing things. And you start to see, oh, I never realized there was this. People recognize it in you. But that is always past tense, the Word of God tells us. Given in the past, at salvation. And you can see why we say often, if we don't do things, not just because you have to do things, gifts can be left shrink-wrapped in your heart. Unused, right? Held back. Does that make sense? We're given it one time, we exercise, we use, and they emerge. One thing we want to blow up here is this idea that there's some sort of strata in the church with gifts. And this has been a killer for many, right? I know many of you have been in places, I have been, where you're made to feel second class because some people have this particular gifting. In fact, the whole purpose of this section, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, particularly 13, is to tell the Corinthian church, enough is enough with the showy gifts. Enough's enough. Without love, you have nothing. So we'll come back to that. Is that making sense, folks? Any questions? I'm going slower because I'm very aware of the experiences in this room. For many of us, almost all of us are touched. I mean, the third wave of the charismatic movement infected every church. So this is all, and it really, in one sense, panders to what's deep within us, right? That there'd be some sort of super Christian. The Spirit apportions to each one individually as he will. So what do we mean by that? Each is unique. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. Someone read that. Get that. He apportions to each one individually as he will. So there is a portion. Note that. We have to remove from the singular focus here. This is what we're seeing. He apportions to each one this manifestation of the Spirit. So what are we doing? What are we seeing here in verse 11? The move from, say, gift, right? One would say, I'm just mercy and I'm nothing else. Right? You've heard that. I've got the gift of mercy. Don't ask me to do any of those other things. I'm just a merciful person, right? Now, I'm, again, using blunt instruments here. That's not always how it goes. But it's like, it's just not, you'll hear this. That's not my gifting. What the Holy Spirit does is give giftedness. Giftedness, like the artist's palette, right? This is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. There is only one, let's say it this way, mix of gifts, right? You know, different hues, and you're mixing the paints. John, is this not true? You get it this high. The hue is here. You get this one's got a little drop. The blue is this, the yellow's here, right? So what we're talking about is not a gift, pigeonholed, this is it, nothing else. The Holy Spirit is much more vibrant and dynamic than that. And as we see clearly in this verse, apportions to you giftedness. Does that make sense? Okay. And are to be distinguished, by the way, from talents or ability. A word on that. There are many talents and ability, and that here's the proof. Do unbelievers have talents and skills?
Yes.
Of course they do. Are they regenerated by the Holy Spirit? No, they're made in the image of God with ability to do different things, right? They can have talents, skills, and abilities. Those are not spiritual gifts. Now, you can take regeneration in an unbeliever, and some of those talents and abilities map with spiritual giftedness, right? Take, you know, any one of the gifts, right? And you can map a talent, skill, and ability to it, and the Holy Spirit's really doing something at that point with the believer. But let's tease those two things apart. Having talent, skill, and ability is not spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about that more through what we see the Word of God telling us specific spiritual gifts are, okay? But we want to make sure we tease those apart. And the illustration I give, and I'll leave it at that, is unbelievers have many skills and ability, okay? Spiritual gifts, go to Romans 11, 29. Spiritual gifts are permanent and irrevocable. I talked about the shrink wrap, right? You have a spiritual gift or giftedness. It's on the bottom shelf or top shelf of your soul. Because you don't use it, it doesn't have an expiration date. God doesn't say, oh, you know what, Catherine? You 3 years and you didn't use your gift? I'm sorry, I'm revoking that gift, right? Praise God that he doesn't do that. They're given, they're irrevocable. Someone read Romans 11, 29.
For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
It's about as clear as it gets, does it not? I mean, you know, sometimes so many of us just love the clarity of God's word, right? Just don't want to hear what people have to say about what does the word of God have to say. They're irrevocable. They're not taken away. But I would press this, it makes it all the more sad for the genuine Christian that doesn't use their gifts. Is that not true? You have something and you're not using them. Through whatever it may be, fear or selfishness or trepidations, you're not using something. It's not taken away. But even more sad than it being taken away, I would say, is that you have something that's there and you're not using it for the kingdom. All right, some observations. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 again. Again, you can see we're really in these chapters because they're very important. Let me read that again, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It doesn't say to some, right? Please, and this is obviously very intentional, let's get rid of this notion that only some are gifted. If you are in Christ today, it matters not your experience. It matters not your ability. It matters not your self-perception. None of that matters. It doesn't. If you're in Christ, you have spiritual giftedness. I must press that point home. Many conversations with people that say, I'm not like so-and-so, I'm not gifted. Yep. Yeah. Let's hang on to that, Elisa. That's the big at the end, and I will get to that today. We will, in a big way. That's a big bucket. Because that's the million-dollar question, right? In fact, so many of you are like, okay, I get it. What are my gifts? There's so many. That's kind of the deals. And I get that, and I hope that's coming from a really good, zealous place. You just want to serve the Lord, right? So that's a great question, Elisa. We will take time at the end for that. We must. We must do that. All Christians are gifted without exception. Without exception. I mean, much more I could say about that, but I think seeing the heads, it's clear. Spiritual gifts are to be exercised in love, for without love, the gifts are rendered useless. Someone read 1 Corinthians 13. It's a small chapter, but it is a good chapter, and it is the meat between 12 and 14. Remember, before we read this chapter, the Corinthians wanted the higher, so-called, showy gifts. Paul writes, and someone has written a letter in Corinth to Paul to say, look, this is what's going on. We have two tiers in Corinth. Sound familiar? We have these people wanting these kind of flamboyant gifts. What about the others? Apostle Paul, help us. What does God have to say about that? Someone read 1 Corinthians 13.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we
Thank you, Rebecca. I reasoned, look at it in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. The reasoning of a child is what? When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. This kind of reasoning says something external, something showy counts for maturity. That's childishness, is what that is. The Apostle Paul, through the inspired word, says, it doesn't matter. And I love this text. Look at verse 3. If I give away all I have, and look at this, if I deliver up my body to be burned, isn't that the ultimate emblem of the super Christian? Kill me for the Lord. Right? And what does the Apostle Paul say? It doesn't matter if you lay your body down and you throw it on the pyre. If you don't have love, you have nothing. In other words, what this text is teaching us, that without love, as more than the salt, the everything, the skeleton, the connective pieces of your gifts are meaningless. I know that sounds harsh, but we say all the time, truth without grace is not truth. Just like grace without truth is not grace. If you don't have love when you're exercising your gifts, the Word of God says they're useless. Does that make sense? And why do we press this point? Because this is the malady so often for many of us, right? Especially once we discern our gift. Yep, Tyler. Yeah, that's part of it, I'd say, Tyler. It's the motive, so it's the why. It's out, like true biblical love is, focused externally versus internally. But it's even more, Tyler, it's the delivery itself. It's a delivery that considers others. True biblical love. Good question. Yeah, Devin.
I think in a way, too, it would be the removal of any personal gain or desire to gain from what our spiritual gifts are, in the sense to say that I'm doing this for me and somehow it's a way to better my life. Hopefully it helps everybody else out, but ultimately it's designed not for, has nothing to do with me other than the fact that whatever spiritual gift I've been given, I'm to utilize for God's glory.
Yeah, that's good. Let's put those together, Tyler, Devin. That's really good. True, the purest form of spiritual gift exercise is an absolute removal of yourself. Like on the very thing that motivates you to do it, to the very thing that is the outcome. And beloved, listen, unless you're lying this morning, that is one of the hardest things to do, to take yourself out of it, right? We love the applause. In fact, we love when someone says, you're really gifted in so-and-so. And we're only going to get further when we be real about these things and repent about them and say, Lord, please, whatever I am, right, I give to you. Now, that's not to say it's impossible or we don't have it. We're blessed, again, I say so often, we're blessed here in so many ways at Westmount that we see that, some very true, humble expressions of giftedness. So let me, don't walk away think I've got the broad whip out or something. But what we're saying is we want to grow in Christ-likeness. And growing in Christ-likeness, I like that, Tyler and Devin, is pulling ourselves out. Yeah.
Just one more quick point, like you were talking about how it's so hard for us to disconnect that idea that, you know, we don't like the applause or the applause don't mean anything or something like that. I think that's just another example of why we need salvation because of that, because no matter how much we try to say, I'm just, the very fact, I guess the basic thing I'm trying to get is that the use of the spiritual gift is meant to be pure and for others, but since we are neither pure in that respect, we do garner obviously some level of, makes me feel better, whatever, which is just another highlight as to what kind of stuff we are and why we need God.
And it's blended, Devin, if I hear what you're saying. Listen, folks, it's blended a bit with something we do need, which is encouragement, right?
Right.
All the more today, this is that we conflate those two things. Brother, sister, especially in these days, right, needs a word of encouragement, a word of upbuilding. That's a good thing to do. So don't stop complimenting brothers and sisters. How they receive it is their business with the Lord. But we conflate those two, and we have a really tough time pulling them apart. So let's continue. Lots still to get to. Spiritual character, not giftedness, marks true Christ-likeness. This is so big. Turn to Colossians 1. Carlos took us to this passage on Sunday. Really appreciated, right, some of the emphasis that he brought out. But one of them is this, Colossians 1:28. Someone read that verse for us.
Can we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ?
What Paul doesn't say, look at it, him we proclaim warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present really gifted individuals that everyone sees. Right? We may present everyone what? Mature in Christ. Christ-likeness is the sign of maturity. Not, oh, I know what their goal is. Oh, they know what their goal is. Oh, and everyone's talking about that, or their gift, I'm sorry. This is what their gift is. We all know it, and they've arrived. You actually could have that scenario where spiritual gifts discerned, they know it, everyone else knows it, they're exercising it, right? And there may not be a measure of Christ's likeness there. I mean, maybe some, right? It's character. This is what Paul is saying. This is the aim. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, right? What's the goal? That everyone may be presented mature in Christ. It's character. It's character. What's interesting, too, when you think about the qualifications for deacons and overseers, you don't have achievements, do you? What do you have? What are the qualifications? Character. Are they men, the elders and men and women of deacons of character? That's it. That's the qualification. I mean, you get the one ability to teach with elders, but we understand why. But other than that, it's character. Makes sense, guys? Hopefully a lot of these myths and stereotypes are being busted up, I hope.
Jason?
Yeah?
Also, as we grow in the Lord, as we mature in the Lord, so let's say, for example, it's a lot of this, and you can have just the purity of your heart.
Yep.
That takes a killing of the flesh daily, hourly. Like, you can't perfect it completely on earth.
Yep.
You go nuts.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, Lisa's asking about that. Impurity that's in us. Yeah, this side of glory, there'll always be specks, right, of impurity. Let's be honest about that. But it gets better. Yeah, we repent and it does get better. Listen, I think many of you would testify. You know that dark piece of flesh within you, but you know the power that it has, it's waning more and more. And that's the hope, right? In Christ, that is the trajectory. So, yeah, good one. So, spiritual gifts are varied, 1 Corinthians 12:4. For varied service, verse 5, and various activities. Someone read that from 4 to 6 of 1 Corinthians 12. Who's got that?
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in
key in on that word varieties. Varieties. We've talked about this before. It's not gift pigeonholed one, it's giftedness. Thus, Christians can and do possess various gifts. Thinking of ways to illustrate this, and this is probably a good way, although they haven't been playing very well of late, but you think about a baseball team, right? And in fact, think about any team. In baseball, you have these four fundamentals. You hit, you throw, you run, and you catch.
And you lose.
And you lose. If you're the Jays, although they won. Right? So let's pick on some of these. For those that are Jays fans, this is for you. Vladimir Guerrero can't just hit. He's a great hitter. He is. You hear sports commentators say what? He's a gifted hitter. Now, this has nothing to do with spiritual things, but they use that terminology. But can Vladimir Guerrero do these other things? Yeah, and it turns out, those of you that follow the Jays, he actually's not as bad with the glove as we thought, right? So his yellow hue might be here. His hitting hue is up here, right? Chapman, I mean, he's great throwing, fielding. Turns out he can hit a little bit too. What we're getting at with this illustration, this is giftedness in the same way. You might have a really merciful individual, right? But they also are very knowledgeable, right? Someone might be really wise, but they also have a bit of administration with them too. Does that make sense? It's giftedness. We're not pigeonholing into one piece. And I find often we can do this. And here's why this is of paramount importance. In our flesh, we love buckets and labels and containers to the point where if I just don't have to do that. Do you see that? And that's why it's very important. We will never know the wonderful hue that we are in the Holy Spirit, right, if we don't exercise our gifts. So again, that's just by way of illustration. Yeah.
When I think of what you just said, it just reminds me of, I guess, the Son, the created Son, not Son Jesus Christ, but the Son.
Oh, yeah.
That's not my way. But the hue of the Spirit within us just overflows into other areas. It may not be a strength, it may be a case of obedience. But it is, we are gifted in more ways than we care to really see.
Yeah, and that's good, Julie. And what we aim to do, all right, is to grow in our understanding and approach of that. And step one today would be an understanding that we have giftedness. We can't possibly know all the different levels and things, right, of our gifts. But we just want to make sure that we understand that, that there really is no limiter. In fact, you take one gift, the gift of service. Take the gift of service. Those gifted with service may have zero skill in a particular area, right? Zero skill. Yet what do? Those that you know that are gifted in service, they'll do it. They'll try. There's a heart motivation. So if that's the gift, and you know we're striving for all of these pieces, so too with us as well. That's good. So the purpose of gifts for the common good of the church. We talked about that already. Someone get 1 Corinthians 14:12. Now this is where it's not just the common good of the church. Note the next layer of specificity. We're going to look here at the edification. Edification is a word that means to build up. So if you hear people say around Westmount, that was really edifying today, it means it built up. You're built up, and not just built up where I'm puffed up feeling good, you're built up in the Lord. That's what edification is. Someone read 1 Corinthians 14:12.
So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church.
See that? See what Paul is doing here? You guys, you Corinthians, you're eager for manifestations of the Spirit. On Jeremy's point, wrong manifestations of the Spirit, right? But this is what true manifestations of the Spirit must do. They must be outward and they must build others up. In fact, I could pause right there for those of us with charismatic backgrounds and you realize, wow, that actually sounds exactly the opposite of what goes on. Does it not? It actually tears down. Yeah, I hope at one point you can do what I do. Yeah, we have a class on Saturday. I hope, right? This is a very opposite of what this verse is saying, given for the common good to build up. Look at verse 26. I love this right at the end. Let all things, and in context, we'd say, including and especially spiritual gifts, be done for building up. So this actually transcends just gifts. Beloved, everything you do in the context of the local church, and you could even make an argument even greater, let it be done for the building up of the brethren. You see that? Let all you do be done for the building up. Make sense? Okay. Also, the purpose of spiritual gifts is service to one another, the church. Now, this seems self-explanatory, right? Someone read 1 Peter 4:10 again, but we do need to press this one point. This is for service to one another, the church. Someone read that again for us. This is so important. You might have someone who'd say, well, yeah, it is. They are being built up by it. Because look at what I'm doing. And they're receiving this. They are being built up. But what's missing there, this gets Tyler to your point, the motivation to serve, communicate. Is this helping the brother or sister? It's not just a manifestation of the gift that says, well, I think I know what you need right now, and I think I know what the church needs. Are you actually serving the body? Does that make sense? You see, this is all now about heart in the spiritual gifts. It's not just like, I've discerned this, Brenda, this is what I know the gift is, and one day you're going to figure out this is what you need, right? So I'm going to, right? It's not that at all. This is serving. This is a humble heart that just acts the way that the Spirit has gifted them to do it. Yeah,
it's just
Julie.
It's my experience that being in that charismatic, and I truly don't think, not in my experience, did anyone really know
Right. And that,
it's not that.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing with that, Julie, too, that it does run against our nature. That's old man stuff. In fact, we do actually know serve, don't we? But we only know it one way. And what is it? Serve self. I have no problem serving if it helps me. In fact, I'm really good at serving myself, right? Particularly good at that. So there's a sense where we need to understand the outwardness of what serving is. And that really gets to then the Christ-likeness. And Julie, that speaks to something too. And we need to say this on this topic and recognizing many, especially of the newer folks here, are coming from these environments. One way of encouragement, let me say it publicly in front of everyone, is we need to be taught. Some of you said, I've never heard these things before. I've never heard it. I understand. I was in the same boat. It actually drove my passion to go into the ministry. I'm like, people need to hear this. Not what Bill Hybels and others have to say. They need to hear this, the Word of God. People aren't being taught. There's a famine in the land of being taught the Scriptures. So, yeah, Julie, often the issue is we're just not taught properly. And for the glory of God, if we were to read verse 11, you see this, 1 Corinthians 10:31, this aspect, right, for the glory of God. If whoever has 1 Peter 4 still open, just read verse 11. Let's grab that. Yep, 1 Peter 4.
Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So good, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says the same thing. Whatever you do, right? Whatever you do, do it to what? Glory of God. So we use our gifts. The purpose is for the common good, the building up, the service to others, and the glory of God. Now, a few comments on this before we close today. It's because this is now where once we get the understanding and the underpinning down, we start to want to get specific, right? And that's good. That's really good. The spiritual gifts that are represented in Scripture. And why do I say it that way? Spiritual gifts represented in Scripture. It would be our position that these aren't exhaustive. What you see in Scripture, it's not like, you know what, let me cobble together all these different verses. You've probably seen this, and here's your laundry list of gifts. Does that make sense? Here are all the gifts, and it's a finite amount of gifts. That's not what we see in Scripture. In fact, the whole reason you see it in different areas is to show that in this context, you could have these gifts. In this context, you could have these gifts. Does that make sense? It's not, and this is where we sometimes can be so categorical that we want everything into a box and say, this is the finite list of gifts. And you know what else that does, I would submit to you? It causes frustration. When we don't realize it, the purpose of this in Scripture, look at all the different ones, it's not to be exhaustive to say, well, you got to find your box. How can we know all the different areas of giftedness that the Spirit gives? I would submit to you, think about Romans 11 in the context of that. How inscrutable are the ways of our Lord? How can we know that? They're given, you know, in Romans, as we get into the gospel, here's a context. 1 Corinthians 12, we've talked about, here's a context of particular gifts. You have one, 1 Corinthians 7, people argue that singleness is a spiritual gift, which I would agree with, the administration, and then the gifted offices as they work right through from the first century on apostle, prophet, and so on. So again, hopefully trying to help with some wrong views of the gifts. It's not exhaustive in Scripture. What they are is a list and a sampling of the ways that the Spirit is manifested in the believer. Yeah.
Would you say, Jason, with sometimes people have a harder time recognizing their spiritual gifts, and it could be because you have a little bit more spread out too? Like, if you have a really strong, let's just say, leadership, you might not recognize, or you would recognize it very easily, but if you're a good leadership, good at mercy and maybe teaching, you might not recognize it as much because it's spread out, or is that...
Yeah, I like that, Dave. In fact, I would agree, and we have many, many here at Westmount that way that have an array of giftedness. And again, we hesitate to say how much of each, but I like that. It is spread out over different types, for lack of a better term, that may be harder to discern initially. I mean, yeah, I think that's a good point. And for those, right, particularly used in an office or in a particular ministry that has a very specific focus, the gifts become are highlighted, or their particular zoning in on a gift is just so clear. So, Dave, I think that is helpful. The thing is, what we don't want it to do is, if we don't discern a gift, what we're thinking is we have no gifts. And that's really, you know, I keep mentioning that because it's so important. But that's a great point. Yeah, Catherine.
I like what you said earlier, that our gifts are like a palette. Mm-hmm. Because when you put them all in their own little containers, they're actually kind of boring too.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a palette, you can think of the different colors of green, for example, and when you mix this and this and this, you get one shade and you get another shade here, and that brings up the individuality of everyone.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so important that we recognize the distinctness of each of that list, or any of those lists, because when we blend everything together, that builds up makes it very personal.
Yeah, that's really good, Kathy. You know me, I love picking on Westmount people, but here's one to pick on, David Alden. How many hats does David Alden wear, by the way? I mean, we lost count how many hats he wears. But there's a man who is, Dave, on your point, predominantly gifted, and we would say this looking at him as service. I mean, he is one of the great servants of Westmount. But how does it come through? Through his leadership? Through his generosity and giving? Is he not a teacher as well? So, Catherine, that's it. If we just say he's that to the exclusion of that, I like that. Not only is that boring, it's just wrong. David Alden has these flavors, these rich hues that come out in his particular giftedness, his mix.
And they come out, depending on the situation that we're in.
Yeah.
And the people that we're with and the individual situations that we're in.
Yeah.
Because one day your teaching ability comes out, but another day your mercy comes out more. So to put them into these individual buckets, we're shortchanging our understanding.
Yeah, I love that, Catherine. Take on your point about context, many of you ladies have commented to me about Sunday. Well, let's be honest, men. That wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for David Alden, right? Like, let's be honest. There's a context. The breakfast put on, the coordination, the leadership, the service, right, has a context there. Right, down to pie making these others. Anyway, you can go on. You get the point. There is a beauty, an objective beauty to the giftedness in the body. Was there a hand over there? Tyler?
I was just going to say, too, like, if we're talking about in the men's study, too, like, it changes over time. Like, it's not a set thing. Like, you just, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing for life. Like, as you go on and advance it in life, like, your role will change. Like, you'll go from a father to a grandfather, a young father to a seasoned father. These sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
So it changes all the time.
Yeah.
Even to Dave's point a bit too, like someone's gift, I would argue someone's gift can be noticing other people's gifts and then edifying them and building them and teasing them out and saying, like, hey, have you ever noticed this? I think you do this sort of a thing and like work on this and build them up and then again not to lock them in a box, but to tease it out, right?
Yeah. And plugging in, as we say, and as many of you are members of a local church. And beginning to be not only involved more, but exercising more. And we'll segue. I know we have 5 minutes left. Yep.
Just real quick. So if, for example, I'm not comfortable with computers, I can never say I can't do this. I have to just, if something is given to me or I offer to do it, I need to just, I don't know if I'm gifted, I don't think I am.
Okay, well, let's hang on to that at least because we're coming to that. No, we're coming. I know it's the, and I love it because that's what you're all thinking. Where am I gifted? What do I do? What do I do and not do? How do I know my giftedness? How do I know it? Well, we would say this, right, in terms of your giftedness, do something, anything, to quote Jeremy from a few weeks ago. You know, this is the number one impediment. Paralysis of analysis, right? Or analysis paralysis, however you want to say it. What is it? It is some form of, well, until I understand who I am, I do nothing. And that is the really wrong way to look at it. All of these, and I just gave a sample. There's so many at Westmount I can give. Did a sports camp a few years ago. Actually, it was the first summer of the pandemic. Getting individuals involved that just wanted to do something. And actually, something flowed out of that, which I'll get to in a moment. Somebody realized a giftedness. the lady, she's just like, it's pandemic. What's going on? There's like, let's do something. They do this cookie drive. And I mean, some of the pictures of that, if you haven't seen them, are just, what an encouragement to the soul. They literally driving around the Kawarthas with a claw, giving cookie bags. How good is that? But those ladies are gifted in that. You talk about the upbuilding, Jen and Julie, to pick on you, gifted in that, putting smiles on our faces, upbuilding us. Lovely. This one, Jim, let me pick on another elder. Jim, this is Barris's apartment in New Life. And he was like, I'll just go. I don't know what I can do. And when I'm handy out, I just want to do something. I just want to go. It turns out he found something he could do, hence this picture, right? And they're basically accomplishing this kitchen project. So these all expressions from just let's do something. Not let's take a test. Not let's look at how flamboyant this is. Not wait until I get gauges. Just do something, anything. So that's one. And that fits with Romans 12:6. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Look at this. Let us use them. Let it not be said, beloved, that we had gifts and we didn't use them. Or that we had gifts and we just used them on ourselves. That's not biblical. That's not right. But you don't necessarily stay there. So we don't just do anything because you're supposed to be doing something, right? There's a trajectory in the Christian life. This is the Christ-likeness growth. You do anything until what? You're doing and exercising properly. Properly. Now, before I come back to those images, let me say this. Look at Ephesians 4:15, 16. It says, as we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now note this. When, this is the aim, each part is working properly. And when that happens, what? Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is not some worldly definition of pragmatism, right? With a whole bunch of people with their finger in dams. Well, it's working and we're not going down, right? No. That's what the world does. A whole bunch of band-aids and a whole bunch of... No. The beautiful image in Christ is it begins with the servant heart. The humble heart says, I'll do whatever. And you know what God does when you have that willing heart? Illumines for you and activates you. Oh my goodness, I really love that. I really didn't realize I could do that. Now, I mentioned these ministries on the right first. Each of these have individuals who are like, I just want to do something. Is there a need? And now you have people in each of these. What's going on in the room over there? Ladies on Wednesday. Now it's moved to a group of you coordinating right down to chapel kids. Never would have known if you didn't just do. And a great story of this, as we end, is this. We pray on Wednesdays. Many of you know or remember Tinka that was here a few years ago. And she was here just not too long ago. Funeral we had. Tinka, we had VBS ministry for 3 years in a row here at Westmount. I know many of the new folks don't know Tinka, but this is how you'll know her, and she's going to be visiting next month. She came up to me, and we were having VBS. We did an AGM and said, we're going to have a VBS in the summer. And you know what she said? I remember exact words. Is there something I can do? I said, Andy. I'm like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what do you think? I don't know. Is there anything? So we talked, we went back and forth. I'm like, well, listen, everything needs to start and needs prayer. And she's like, maybe I could pray. Maybe I can do that. I'm like, okay, well, you pray for VBS ministry. So she prayed during the week. When VBS was done, she came to us as elder and she said, I love that. And actually, I have a little bit of ladies that prayed too. And you know what that morphed into? Our prayer ministry. And not only was it, again, a pragmatic, what just happens to be working prayer ministry, it was a well-oiled machine. Tinka ran that ministry really, really well, to the point where she had a protege in Brenda. If you look very closely, you'll see Brenda in the back of that photo, right? Who has now taken over what Tinka started and in the same way exercising properly and well. It all started with someone coming forward and saying this, listen, what can I do? That's the heart of spiritual gifts, right? Tinka didn't take a test, and she didn't take her cue from TV, right, with a lot of hands going up. She just did. And the Holy Spirit impressed her, this is it. And of course, we came around her and said, Tinka, you are clearly gifted to do this. You have the administration and so on and all of these pieces. So the encouragement, and again, next week, we're going to get into, for some, the really big, big questions, right? The types of gifts. But I wanted to leave you with this, which would normally be our final application, right? Our final press on the exercise of spiritual gifts. So we've looked at the observations, giftedness given by the Spirit, used in love. The purpose is for others to serve and build up for God's glory. And the exercise is doing something until your proper place is found. By the way, the end of that whole section in 1 Corinthians 14 says this very last verse, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Some versions say order. This is not a confusing thing. It's actually a beautiful thing as we plug in the right way. Next week, indeed, we will get to the types of spiritual gifts, right? Some of you have questions, and we'll deal with this. Tongues, miracles, healing. We're going to spend an entire morning talking about that, God willing, right out of the Word of God. So any questions, come up and ask, and I will pray to close, and then we'll enjoy some fellowship. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time together. You're so gracious to us as you guide us in your Word. Help us, Lord, to continue to think accurately and rightly about spiritual gifts. Help those of us that are coming out of environments, Lord, where not necessarily taught, but practice something completely different to what your Word has said. God, we pray for mercy in that. And we ask now you'd ready our hearts to go upstairs to worship you collectively, corporately. We thank you for this opportunity and commit the rest of the morning to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.